Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be views of Ron Higgins and Ron Ranfor, the superintendent of education up in the state of Washington. He came in second, but didn't have enough votes to get into a runoff. But, of course, I asked him to come on to our program tonight because he certainly is a conservative, a person who is concerned about education and what they're doing to the minds of our children. Basically, if you want, of course, to take over a nation, one of the things you have to do is control the youth. And you do this, of course, by controlling the educational. Public education is not aimed at educating our children. It's about indoctrinating them and changing their relationship to God, family, and country. And the last thing you really want young people to understand is what freedom is all about, what God is all about, what society is all about. The last thing you want to do is have them to be moral and basically. Basically, what we want to do is teach them, well, you shouldn't have sex before marriage, but you can have sex. You ought to at least use condoms. Wouldn't that be the logical thing to do? And instead of trying to instill moral concepts in them, we're doing everything they can to destroy the moral fabric of our society and the value for human life and love of God and the country. Well, Ron, certainly, we asked him to come on this evening to talk about the problems he sees in education, certainly in the state of Washington and elsewhere. Ron, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Why don't you go ahead, just pick up the story, tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself. What happened during the election? And then, of course, though, what needs to be done with education in Washington and elsewhere across America? Go right ahead.
Okay, just a little bit about myself. I graduated from college in 1969. I went in the Marine Corps to fight the, as I tell the students, to fight the communists in Southeast Asia. We let them win, but still we achieved our objectives. We turned the United States into a socialist dictatorship and allowed Lyndon Johnson to become filthy rich on kickbacks. I fought the communists there. I'm still fighting them today. We let them win in Southeast Asia. Now they've taken over the United States. I still fight them, but that gives me something to do on the weekend. Kids think that's pretty funny. Unfortunately, there's probably a lot of truth in that. Anyway, after I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to work in the nuclear power industry. I've worked for a number of companies, worked for the federal government and the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the United States Department of Energy. I retired in my early 60s, and I like to tell the kids I still didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I went back to it, I entered a teacher training program. I had to prove that I had a 2.5 GPA from undergraduate institutions, so that was like 40 years old. My 40-year-old transcripts had to be scrutinized to make sure that I was academically eligible. So I got into the program, and I successfully completed it and got my certificate in secondary math. And rather than take a contract, I became a substitute teacher. I teach from preschool through high school in any subject they assign me, including special ed and bilingual. I've also been at the alternative high schools and even in the juvenile justice center. So I've had a very wide range of experience. I've also been a school bus driver, went back and got my commercial driver's license, and then became a school bus driver.
Okay, fine. I held that thought. But basically, of course, Ron, then, feeling there was a real need to have somebody with real life experience in supervising education, Washington ran and actually came in second in the race for state superintendent. So you pick up the story there, Ron.
Okay, well, I entered the teaching profession in my early 60s and started substitute teaching. Prior to that, I had been very active with my children. They had attended public school and very active with them. They were both very, very good athletes in sports. They went, both of them went to regionals and track, and my daughter went to state and cross country. And I was very active with them, and I used to volunteer a lot of my free time at the school. They had this program called Parent Patrol, so I would patrol the halls during lunchtime just to make sure that there was no vandalism going on, there were no other students misbehaving, no one was getting hurt or anything. So that helped the teachers, and the teachers were very thankful for it. Well, when I was doing that, I happened to see this one poster. And there was a poster on the wall that you could compete for scholarships. There was a homosexual organization for those who would promote their agenda, that you could compete for a $300,000 scholarship. They had that $300,000 scholarship money available for those who would who could compete, provided they showed that they were promoting this. I didn't think that was particularly proper for a school to be involved in something that. So I didn't mention that. I just said I saw a poster for scholarships. I wondered if I could have it. They knew my children had just graduated, so they said certainly. I took that. I got on the internet. I compared the dangers of those involved in homosexual activity with the health hazards of smoking. It showed out that it's much more harmful to be engaged in some of this unhealthy behavior as far as homosexuality than it was to smoke, and the schools are very, very diligent about opposing smoking. So I prepared a little paper contrasting the two, and I showed up at the school board meeting, and I pointed out the fact that they were, how good the schools were at opposing smoking, but I was very disappointed that they were promoting homosexuality, which statistically is even more harmful. Well, the superintendent was there, and he said, "We do not." He was very upset. He said, "We don't promote that." And I said, "Yes, sir, you do." And I handed him the scholarship poster that I had obtained from the school. And he was silent after that. But what the school district did was to abolish the program that I was in, so that parents couldn't get in the schools anymore. I didn't think that was the right thing to do. In fact, board member said, you know, we want to give the kids a leg up, you know, so they can compete for scholarships.
Okay, fine. We'll be back in just a moment with Ron Higgins. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly after Ron had actually gone to a school board meeting and pointed out that they were posting posters there at the schools there and where he was teaching, were promoting homosexual scholarships for people who were promoting the homosexual lifestyle. When he dared to tell that to the school board, and of course the superintendent of schools says it wasn't true, and when Ron produced the poster, why, of course, nothing more was said, but they now, did they essentially abolish your position? And,
well, I wasn't a teacher. I was just a volunteer.
Right. You were a volunteer. You weren't actually a paid individual.
No. They just said, we won't have this program anymore. There weren't a lot of people involved in it anyway, but the teachers, I'd been actually thanked personally by several teachers for donating my time to help them patrol the halls and keep order. Well, that was one of the incidents that I had. Another incident was a Thanksgiving week. This time I was substitute teaching in another school, and it was Thanksgiving week, and the subject I was supposed to teach was language arts and history. And the lesson plan said free reading. And I thought, well, it's Thanksgiving week. Let's read some historical documents. The Mayflower Compact, and Washington's and Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamations. So I had the students do that, and I got a letter from the school district that the school was very unhappy that I didn't follow the lesson plan, and they didn't want me coming back to that school. So, all right, I'm approved in 6 districts, so I just said, well, I'll just teach someplace else. I'm retired, so, you know, I don't really do this for the money. At $14 an hour, you're not going to get rich substitute school teaching. But I do it because I think of it as civic duty, and I really enjoy it, too.
But basically, of course, what you're saying is the fact that there is an agenda within the educational system not to talk about the American traditions, and certainly going into the background of why we have Thanksgiving, certainly not to adhere to high moral standards. There is certainly an effort within the educational system there in the state of Washington, I suspect all across the country, to use our educational system to destroy a belief in God and in family and country.
Well, see, I couldn't maybe leap to that conclusion necessarily, but it sure seems fishy. Why in the world would they do that? The year before, I had been teaching in the Juvenile Justice Center that same time of the year. I was told they didn't have a lesson plan. I was going to have to wing it. Well, I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I did exactly the same thing that I did a year later. We read the Mayflower Compact and the Thanksgiving Proclamations of Washington and Lincoln, and I had the students. They're all incarcerated, by the way. We all sat around a table, and I told them, we're going to take turns reading. We're all among friends. No one is going to make fun of anybody. If you're having trouble, we'll help you. I said, we're all here to learn something. I said, if we run into words that we don't understand, we have a dictionary here, and we'll look them up, but we'll learn something. I ran into one of the kids the following year. He had been released, and he was in an alternative school. He said the kids, he gave me some feedback. The kids really enjoyed that, and they still talked about me. I was just a substitute for a couple of days. But they still talked about it. And I think it is the duty of the school to connect the children with their heritage. I think it's the duty of the preacher to connect the people with the eternal. It's the duty of the school to protect them, to connect them with their heritage. Hopefully the two should align. I think with the United States, we do. At least our foundational documents do. And I think that's what we should be doing. The one thing that bothers me about the teachers, they're so trendy. You see, go into places, there are posters of Twilight series about the vampires and stuff like that. I thought, wow, Hollywood doesn't need all this publicity. They have millions of dollars in advertising budget. You know, Charles Dickens doesn't have that anymore. You know, why aren't they promoting something that has a little bit more of a timeless value than this?
Well, because our educational system is not doing what it should be doing, and that is introducing children into the real world. They're being introduced into an artificial world, a world of certainly of patriots and people who believed in individual freedom under God. It isn't entirely different than the world where people are concerned about vampires.
I made me chuckle a little bit. Anyway, that was some things that disappointed me. I've taught a lot. Maybe 30% of my teaching is in bilingual. We have two bilingual programs here in local areas, mainly for Spanish speaking, but there is some for Russian speaking kids, and it's to transition them from the language that they speak at home into English, and I found that to be, I think, beneficial. I've enjoyed it. The kids are great. I happen to keep a constitution with me at all times because questions come up. Plus, I never know sometimes where I'm going to end up being assigned, and the kids will ask about that. Sometimes they may even want a copy, and if I have a copy, I'll give one.
Well, now, basically, they're really trying to get the Spanish-speaking kids to speak English and speak it fluently?
Yes, as far as I can tell. In fact, with the kids with whom I interact, the farther up they go in their academic progress, the more likely they are to prefer to use English.
Well, no, basically, of course, that where are these kids coming from? They must be new immigrants into our country.
I think we have a lot of folks here who maybe aren't.
And basically, of course, if they've been here for a long period of time, you would think that they would be able to speak English. And what people don't understand is the real agenda of our government. The real agenda of our government is to bring people here, illegal immigrants. Why? Because they've killed off so many of the children by abortion. We need people to do the more menial jobs. We need these people paying into Social Security and into Medicare systems to try to keep these things afloat. Because they've artificially interfered with the normal balance of society, they're trying to do this, but they can't tell the American people. The other thing, of course, is they want a multilingual, multicultural society, because they want to destroy America's culture, and they want to destroy the unique qualities of our nation. Sydney, you bring people from other nations in here, they do not have the heritage, but they really want to destroy our heritage. When you understand that so much of what's going on today, suddenly it makes sense, and certainly this is why they have the History Channel, they have the Discovery Channel on television. This is all to alter our perception of America and of the world. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Ron Higgins, who ran for superintendent of schools. So, Ron, why did you run for superintendent of schools?
Well, I gave you the first anecdote where I noticed this very unhealthy lifestyle being promoted to our kids. I didn't like that. I would feel better if they were trying to recruit our cheerleaders to be, into brothels in Las Vegas. I mean, I was very upset about that. I feel betrayed, in a way, by an institution that should be looking out for their welfare. I realize they have a lot of pressure on them and trendy types and things who don't really have much of a moral foundation. But they have a fiduciary responsibility to the health and safety. In fact, there were two things that I would... My two major points as why I ran, number one, was to connect our kids to their heritage. I believe in the three C's. By the way, this is kind of my own idea. The three C's, communication, computation, and civics. Communication is reading, writing, speaking, and listening in English, by the way. It's good if you can learn another language. That's great, but you better learn English. Second is computation. And that's arithmetic, fundamental algebra and geometry that you might have to use. And it doesn't have to be very, not very difficult or abstract. And, of course, civics, specifically the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Now, when you get into the Declaration, in fact, I ask them, what's the purpose of government? People don't know. It's not government. Not to give you things that you ought to be earning yourself. Okay. Kids don't know that. I imagine probably most adults don't know that. What's the purpose of government? What are your rights? Where do your rights come from? Are they listed anywhere? What's the function of the judiciary? It's spelled out there in our foundational documents, if you teach the kids that.
But of course, you're not supposed to mention God, and you can't actually understand where our rights came from unless you understand the Declaration. You can't understand the Declaration unless you understand what it says, and that is that we hold these truths self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men with the consent of the governed. And that's what it's all about. It is to ensure our God-given rights. America is different because in most countries in the world, government gives you certain rights. In America, you have your rights, and governments are instituted basically to ensure those rights that are God-given. That is why they had to take God, prayer, Ten Commandments, everything else reference to God, out of our schools, because, of course, they couldn't declare the dictatorship. And there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. And it was not accidental. It certainly had nothing to do with the Constitution. The Supreme Court had been taken over by a secret society. What was the secret society? It was the Masons. They controlled the American, certainly the American Supreme Court, in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971, and nobody will tell the American people that. And yet you can go up on the internet and check it out yourself. We'll be right back. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go to Charlene, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Charlene, do you have a question or comment?
Well, my comment is, I wanted to talk to the superintendent that, you know, my family and everything, they sue the schools. The superintendent of the schools said stuff against my family, and it contributed to my kids getting taken away from me. And, you know, I just didn't appreciate the superintendent acting like that, so.
Okay, Charlotte, well, I sympathize with you. I'm sorry you had problems with the schools, and I hope that you do everything you possibly can to help organize the people in your community to try to get responsible people into administrative positions. Basically, we've got an awful lot of good teachers who want to do a good job, but very often in the electoral positions, we have people who are there pushing an agenda. Anything else you want to say before we let you go, Charlene?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him a couple more questions.
Okay, do you have a quick question for him? What is that?
What can he do to change things? Because the change doesn't seem to be happening.
Well, basically, Charlene, of course, Ron is in Washington State, not theirs, and he actually ran for state superintendent of schools, but I'm sure, as happens so often, he didn't have the opportunity to get his message out. But I thank you so very much for your call, and say, Ron, basically, what sort of response did you get when you ran for the state superintendent of schools?
Outstanding one, by the way. Very briefly, I could give you some of the emails.
Sure, why don't you go ahead? But basically, how were you able to get your message out? And you can't win without reaching the people. So did the newspapers cover you?
One newspaper did, and of course, I'm a local boy from Eastern Washington. I'm the only. Well, I think there's one other fellow from the Tri-Cities. His name is Clint Didier, and he's a former professional football player. Very, very nice fellow. He's running for Commissioner of Public Lands. He's a farmer, and he's a constitutionalist, and a wonderful man. Other than that, we're the only two guys, two candidates from this side of the state, really, running for statewide office. He made it to the general. I did. I came in second. The winner got a little over 50%, so they, just because it's nonpartisan, he's declared the winner. But, you know, I haven't heard anything from these guys locally. they know what I think. So I don't think they're particularly enamored with me or my opinions. They've been, the one fellow who interviewed me, who covers the education beat, and he did a very good job, but I haven't heard from him since. That was months ago.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you run for anything again, why, you'll be getting in touch with us, and if we're here, why, we'll give you a more of a voice. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to, you know, get you onto our program, because we do have a lot of voters up there who listen to our program, at least in the southeastern part of the state of Washington.
Yeah, actually, in the whole eastern part.
Right.
Yeah, not just the southeast. You're up in Spokane. That's probably, you know, your biggest audience right there in Spokane.
Exactly.
You also have it in Yakima and Moses Lake and some other places. Of course, Spokane is by far the biggest city in eastern Washington, but ours is just minuscule compared to what it is over in the western side in Pierce County.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Ron, his retired Marine officer, decided he wanted to try to do something. He ran for the superintendent of schools. And, of course, he came in second in the race, which is really pretty good. But the problem is, when you try to get your message to the people, how do you reach them? Well, if you can do massive mailings, costs a lot of money. You can send people out with petitions, but costs a lot of money to do this sort of thing. And basically, of course, the best way to get your information out is by television and radio, but the television and most of radio is on the other side. Fortunately, we do have a significant voice up there, at least in the eastern part of Washington. We wish we had more of a voice up in Seattle, but we do have an excellent voice in the Spokane area on about 6 radio stations there. And I do believe that this has actually had some influence on the attitudes of the people in that area, and I think there's a growing concern among people in that region. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
Well, as far as how I got my message out, I did it. I went to the Republican state convention. I didn't go to the Democratic state convention. I didn't know where that was. I don't know how well some of my views would be received by those folks anyway, so I didn't know how receptive they'd be. It was just a waste of time. I probably would have gone anyway, but I didn't know where it was. I did go to the Republican state convention. I did give a talk on TVW, which is kind of like the C-SPAN for Washington State. In fact, people could look at it if they wanted to and see what I get on my website and see what I look like and see me and animation when I give my talk. And I was pretty blunt. I went blunt, but I did face directly some of the issues, the fact that our children are not being taught their heritage, where they're literally being severed from their heritage, which I think is a way to enslave us, really, is what it's trying to do, because we would now not be a sovereign nation anymore. We don't know what sets us apart. And the second thing, we have some very unsavory elements that have access to our kids. And some of them call themselves gay. I certainly wouldn't say that it's exclusively to those people, but that's the hedonistic lifestyle. I don't want the kids to learn that. It's very unhealthy. I'm not even talking about the morality of it. I'm talking about the health aspects of it. We're not going to do that. That's not debatable. Those two things are not debatable to me. In fact, they could ask me about, hey, what about merit pay for teaching, and what about all-day kindergarten and all stuff like that? I said, that's fine. That's good. Good. I'm sure there's pros and cons to that, but that's not the real issue. The real issue, what do we have when we get done with the process, and what sort of people are going to have unfettered access to our children to shape their minds? Those are the things that are really important, and those are the ones we should address, and we will address those first before we address any of these peripheral issues. Now, I don't mean to dodge anybody's question, but that's the way it is. And I will not sacrifice the health and safety of our kids for anybody.
And, of course, the tragedy is when children finish high school here in the United States, and they're tested competitively with children throughout the rest of the world, our kids do very, very poorly. I mean, we're down 30th or 40th behind all sorts of other countries. We're like Lithuania and Latvia, about the same level. How could you possibly do such a poor job unintentionally? Well, of course, because we're spending all of our time learning about sex and about homosexuality and about the environment, and they're not learning reading and writing and arithmetic. They're not learning the things that they really need to be effective and productive in this world today. And certainly, you certainly go over into China or into India, and these kids are taking all sorts of advanced calculus here in high school, and certainly some of our kids are taking advanced calculus and some of the other things, but an awful lot of them aren't. They're into all sorts of feel-good activities, lots of sports and lots of social activities. But what we need, if we are going to survive as a free nation, is to have a generation of our young people who excel in mathematics, who excel in science. And we're just not training them for that. And I believe this is intentional. I believe there are people who want to destroy this nation and want it to become mediocre. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you want to destroy a great nation, you destroy its educational system, and you destroy the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Ron Higgins, who ran for state superintendent of schools up there. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. We'll be back in just a moment. right here. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we have Sarah calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Sarah. Do you have a question or comment?
I guess a comment.
Okay, go right ahead.
I just wanted to thank Ron for going to the trouble and effort and expense to run for this office. I had met him at the Tea Party was the last time I met him and spoke with him and when he told me he was going to be running. But I already knew, had met him before, he probably wouldn't have remembered, but I knew he was active in the community, and that's why I voted for him myself. And I had seen him, I mean, I knew he went to church, I knew that he went to maybe some of the Tea Party meetings, I knew he cared, and that he was in education. And so that's why I voted for him. And I just want to encourage all the Christian men out there to please do something to be salt. We are in such desperate times, and please find, you know, what something. I'm sure the Lord has something for each one of you out there. Please start doing something to turn this evil back in this land.
Well, I certainly would second what you're saying, Sarah, and some people have the ability to run for political office. Others have the ability to speak. But if you don't have the ability to do those things, well, you can help to finance the people who are running or get into their campaign and work with them. And I know certainly when I've run for political office, it's been so gratifying to have people come and say, look, I can't run myself, but I want to help you. What can I do? And certainly whether it's putting in telephone calls or passing out flyers or putting up yard signs, or there's so many things that need to be done that the individual can't do themselves. And everybody out there can do something, and whether it's running
right.
or something, helping people are running or financing it. Go ahead, Sarah. You want to finish your thought?
And they can pray. But I did want to make two other comments about the school system here. I know of a man who worked with my husband who was also salt. His son, who has since graduated from high school, but he was gifted, and one of the books that he, I guess, brought home to read, there was pornographic material in it, which, of course, is shocking.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Sarah. We'll be right back here in a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Sarah calling from Richland, Washington. She was simply talking about Ron and thanking him for running for the state superintendent of schools. She was talking about a friend of theirs whose son, a gifted young man, going to schools up there in Washington, came home with a book that had all sorts of pornographic material in it. Why would a textbook given or a book given to a child in school have pornographic material? And I would like to suggest there really are people who want to destroy the moral fabric of our society. But you go ahead, Sarah.
Well, this man went before, this father went before the school board about it, and he's kept on it. You know, he went there numerous times, and it was very hard to get anything done about it, even the person who was head of the board. I guess there's something about not wanting to censor free speech or something like that. But anyway,
what do you mean? Not one of them? They censor God. They censor the Ten Commandments. They censor prayer. What do you mean they don't want to censor free speech?
Well, exactly. And they're hypocrites. But anyway, we've got that down. We've got the nail down on that they are hypocrites. But he did. He and his wife one summer they read all these books and they did some kind of a guide for parents that they could go by that would rate the books that they were given to read. So, you know, that was one way, and it took a lot of work and a lot of time and effort for them to do that, but they did that. And then the other thing a friend of mine told me about, now this was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, at the same high school, Hanford High School, her son was in a geography class, and he asked her to type a paper, because usually when you're in high school, parents do not have much dealings with their students' homework, because they're on their own by then. But I want to suggest that parents start being a little bit more involved and start looking at the materials, books and stuff their children are being given at school. Don't just trust the school system. But anyway, this teacher was teaching about Islamic stuff, and I guess that's probably what the paper was about. And this friend of mine told me that this teacher had a Quran, a copy of the Quran in front of the classroom, and invited the students to come look at it whenever they wanted, and also invited them to attend the Islamic mosque that's here. So, and she did go to the principal, but he didn't see anything wrong with it.
How about if they were doing the same thing with Christianity, they'd make an awful fuss.
Exactly.
If they were inviting a child to go to church, if they had a Bible there in the classroom, there'd be a real fuss. You have to understand, Sarah, of course, if you listen to our programs regularly, you understand there's a conspiracy against God, and it permeates every aspect of our society. Ron, what would your response be to the things that Sarah's been saying?
Well, I kind of agree with you. You know, they can censor God, but you can't show some discretion and some judgment about getting this filth. And when they put the filth in, look at all the good stuff they censor out. So that would be my response.
Right.
Yeah, you're censoring out good stuff and putting in this filth.
And you have to ask
it's inappropriate. You know, in fact, I would think it borders on child abuse. It will not be tolerated, period.
Amen to that.
All right. Now, you know, that's another thing I won't tolerate. Hey, you're not going to censor good literature to put this filth in. You know, I would not tolerate that. As far as like going to the mosque, we have freedom of religion. It might be a good idea to go there and learn what the Muslims think. Learn about, you know, Muhammad saying, you know, chop the guy's hand off, whatever it is. Might be nice to know that it's not always goody-two-shoes, that Jesus says turn the other cheek and Muhammad says chop the infidel's head off. But there is a difference. Maybe there is a big difference in that.
I'd like to add that Shahan Haydian, who was running for governor here, at that Tea Party meeting that I saw you at, I believe you were there, he made the comment that there were two people who attended this mosque that were on the terrorist watch list here in Richmond.
Boy, I didn't know that.
Or West Richmond.
Well, I wouldn't be told about it. Anyway, thank you so very much, Sarah. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
And thank you,
Ron, for running. I appreciate it.
Okay,
Okay, fine. That was Sarah calling from Tri-Cities, and I'm sorry, from Richland, Washington. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and our guest is Ron Higgins. But ladies and gentlemen, the problems such as you've heard about tonight permeate every aspect of our schools across America. Why? Because these people on the other side have embraced the concept, think globally, but act locally, and they get their people onto the school boards, onto the water board, onto the, certainly all of the local boards and commissions, so that they can actually use those positions to undermine and destroy America. America is under attack today by subversive elements, not from without, but from within, using the electoral process with the help of the mass media to destroy the very fabric of our nation. Ron, you go right ahead.
Okay, this is an email I received from the Christian Biker Tabernacle. We just wanted to let you know that you will have our vote in the primary election. Thank you for your statement below that tells us there's at least one candidate that is going to help protect our children from the perversion being forced on them and our morals being undermined in the schools. We have a small church, but we'll be speaking your name out to get votes. Thank you, and God bless you, Mr. Higgins. And here's another one I got. Having just received my primary ballot in the mail a few days ago, I've been researching the candidates I haven't already decided on. I'm happy to say that you are clearly the best choice for SPI. Thank you for taking a stand to uphold traditional morals in an arena so permeated with wrong. Your ideals are a rarity when it comes to politics and education in particular. Best of luck in 2012. I just wanted to... These are favorable ones. Let me read you one that... And very few that were unfavorable. Here's one. And this will illuminate one of the other reasons why we have to take command, take control of our school system back. Here's what this is what a gal said. She didn't identify herself, but I found out from other ways. Hello. While reading your statement as candidate for superintendent of public instruction, I came across a few things that, as a voter and college student, alarmed me to say the least. First of all, have you ever met someone who is Islamic? You ever been to a mosque? The fact that you think that mosques should be monitored makes me dread the thought that you having any power in government. You believe that only Muslims are capable of terrorist acts. Besides that, the Muslim population engaged in terrorist acts are a small group of extremists here in the States. Every religion has them. Even if you would only like to monitor mosques and have had members who have actively engaged in terrorism, still wrong, and you should still be monitoring Christian extremists and any other religion with extremists. However, that would be all of them. Every religion...
What was that?
Oh, hang on a second. I just, this thing I lost it here just a second.
Well, I think that people have to understand that certainly a part and parcel of the Muslim faith is advocating jihad and violence. I mean, this is something that actually Muhammad actually advocated. Jesus didn't advocate violence, but Muhammad did. And basically, of course, it was because they were violent that they were able to simply kill off the Christians in the Near East and Middle East. And those who certainly did not convert to the Muslim faith were simply had their hands and feet cut off and their heads cut off. The very essence of the Muslim faith is built upon violence.
Yes. Just lost this. But it was just a classic what she was saying there. I just lost this. But she was just, to me, indicative of what the younger generation thinks today.
Unfortunately, the younger generation, they do not consider themselves Americans. They consider themselves globalists, or many of them do. They don't understand why America is unique and novel and needs to be saved. They simply look upon themselves as citizens of the world, and all religions are good. There's good in all religions. And basically, no, that's not true. There are only two religions in the world, the Christianity and Judaism, on one side, and all the rest of them on the other. And basically, in my estimation, they all have their origin in the occult. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I believe our educational system today is being used to destroy the belief in America of our young people. Destroy their patriotism, destroy their love of country, and love of family and love of God, and to destroy the nation. And that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That is why so many people there seem to be very tolerant of the Muslim faith. And that is certainly why so many of our young people are no longer simply American citizens, but citizens of the world.
Okay, I just want to continue with this. I just got it back that something happened with my computer. Christians are far more dangerous than Muslims could ever be because of their influence. But you, of course, wouldn't pay any heed to that, would you? You, sir, are a bigot. Additionally, what exactly is sexual anarchy by your definition? A person's sexual habits and desires, as long as they are legal and between consenting adults, are none of the government's business and do not dictate a person's character. Sex is a fantastic, wonderful, and healthy thing. As long as people are being safe and using protection, what does it matter if they're having sex on a regular basis? So what if they like bondage? So like threesome? So what? It doesn't matter. You forget that you have to persuade my generation. We are the future of this country, and we have sex. We, for the most part, are not narrow-minded individuals like yourself. You are in Washington, not Texas, so I hope that one day you realize that your bigotry is unacceptable in this day and age. That's what she wrote, and I responded to her. You ever met anyone who is Islamic? I work with many Muslims. Ours seem to be very personal, and although although one of them absolutely hated Jews. He eventually got fired after having an altercation with his boss. One of the Muslims joined the local chapter of the Christian Coalition. Another passed out Christian Coalition voter guides to members of his mosque. One was a delegate to the local Republican convention. They like me because I hate the decadent contemporary American culture even more than they do. You ever been to a mosque? No, but I have been inside. I've never been inside of a mosque, but I work with a fellow who was a project manager for a mosque. Only Muslims are capable. No, many people are capable of terrorist acts, but Muhammad commands them in the Quran. Jesus commands his followers to turn the other cheek, Matthew 5:39. Muhammad commands his followers to wage war on the infidel. My wording was faulty because I didn't mean to use the word mosque. I should have used the term building complex or facility. I think that's what's the name? Mr. Williams? Is that his name? Who's number of these Muslim training camps? You've had him on your
staff. Paul Williams, yes.
Oh, yes. I many of whom are violent criminals recruited in U.S. prisons trained with automatic weapons, either illegal for convicted felons or weapons. They do so at these facilities. The FBI is aware of it. It's done nothing. One of the sponsors of these facilities also sponsored many charter schools. You can read about it here. Christians are far more dangerous than Muslims could ever be because of their influence. Examples of Christian extremists are the Mennonites and Amish, both pacifist sects who try to follow Jesus' teachings in the Bible. Though there are numerous examples of murderous behavior by self-professed Christians, such as the Crusades and Inquisition, these clear people were not following the Bible at all and were heretics. Muslim terrorists are following the dictates of Muhammad. The peaceful ones are considered heretics, kafirs, and the first victims of Muslim extremists. Europe and the British Isles, women don't dare go into certain areas unless they wear a veil for fear of being assaulted. I gave her own website. Another incident in which individuals of First Amendment freedom was violated can be viewed here, right here in the U.S. today. She asked about sexual anarchy. Sexual anarchy, all gender distinctions are removed. Men and women are considered interchangeable. She talked about sex here. This is promiscuous. This is how I answered her. Promiscuous sexual activity can be very hazardous, both physically and emotionally. There are people who will take advantage of you, and if you got into trouble, will not even buy you a handkerchief to dry your tears. Many Muslims have very low regard for American women, thinking them to be quite immoral. I hope they are wrong. She said, you're in Washington, not Texas. I said, both Washington and Texas are in the U.S. With the U.S. Constitution, it's still supposed to be the supreme law of the land, where we still have our First Amendment rights of freedom of religion, speech, the press, assembly, and the right to petition for redress of grievances. Should Sharia law ever be instituted, we will immediately forfeit all of our rights. May that never happen. And that's how I responded to her. She's a product of our state schools.
Well, you see, she doesn't understand what's wrong with having promiscuous sex. She doesn't understand that there is an emotional response, that these memories will be with her all the rest of her life, and when she gets older, she will look back at what she's done with tremendous regret. Certainly, she could very well get pregnant, and if she did, she would have two choices, either to have the child or to kill it, to murder it. And if she did, that would be with her for the rest of her life. If she is promiscuous, she can get all sorts of sexually transmitted diseases. And certainly the old adage is, what's the difference between sex and getting chlamydia? Well, of course, chlamydia lasts forever. I guess it's love and chlamydia lasts forever. And basically, you get these diseases, they're with you forever. And some of these, you never will get rid of these sexual diseases that you've gotten.
Well, I see. If they got back to our original basis documents, you go to the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the very first sentence, what gives us the laws that entitle us to be a free and independent nation are the laws of nature and nature's God. The laws of nature are the laws of biology, chemistry, physics, etc. Law of nature's God. That's the morality of the Bible. And that's how I would just, that's what it is. And you don't have to believe the theology. That's your business. We have freedom of religion here. But the morality, whether you should be able to lie or not, that's illegal. Even though you can do it physically, it's not permissible. Our society would break down.
Well, I think that this whole thing gets back to sexual promiscuity. Basically, this has been practiced in countries throughout the world for centuries. but it always leads to the destruction eventually of that nation. You have to have moral people. And if you don't, why, of course, the society breaks down. And believe me, I believe God plays a part in that. And I believe God brings his judgment upon nations. And I believe that God has certain rules for nations. And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Go right ahead. You've got about a minute and a half with this segment of the program.
Okay. One of the reasons I got an awful lot of votes, and I think the reason for that is I got a lot of pro-life organizations, pro-property rights, pro-family organizations. The Tea Party had publicized my name, and a lot of people called me. A lot of people emailed me, and I tried to answer everyone. And I think that's how I got the word out. I didn't do much. I didn't have much money. I just had a little bit that I had myself. I got very few donations at all. But I was able to get the word out. I'm about the only guy, well, Sharam Hadian and Steve Pidgeon did, I think, but who would stand for a biblical morality in an uncompromising way.
Well, I think most people want that. Most of our people are good people. And whether they're Christians or not, they recognize the importance of this idea of Christian morality. It is simply that the media and the people who control the reality of most of us have given us the idea these ideas are not embraced, but they are. Our guest this evening, Ron Higgins, will be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Ron, we've got 3 minutes. You go right ahead.
Well, education is very important. The philosophy in the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. That's why it is so important.
I agree with you totally. I think that simply is such a vitally important thing. Raise up your children right, because, of course, you raise them today, but in the next generation, they're the ones who are going to be shaping the society if we're going to grow old in. Go right ahead.
Yes. Education of our posterity and the principles of liberty is the most important investment we as a society can make. And I will, if I haven't blacklisted myself or something with all this, because I ran and you know, get out into the public eye, I'll be returning as a substitute school teacher here in just a couple of weeks. And I look forward to doing that. I love working with kids. That's a lot of fun. A lot of people don't think so, but obviously I do or wouldn't do it. And I think it's very important. This is one of the things I wanted to impart to them. ABC, always be courteous. Courtesy never costs. It pays. And I like to tell the kids I want to stay in their good graces, because they're the ones who are going to decide what old folks' home to put me into. So I'm looking forward to that. And
Well, do you think that you will run for political office again?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't need me. However, these issues need to be pushed. And I did maybe to educate people. But I would hope there's someone else would run with it. The only reason I jumped into it is I didn't think anybody else was going to push it. And I think I was right. No one else did. And obviously, with the little budget that I had, it obviously resonated with a lot of people. So, I didn't come close to winning, but I certainly did get an awful lot of votes. And to finish second in the state with the, jumping in at the last minute, that was, I did something, some things I said, a lot of people felt very strongly about. I've got mostly very favorable messages from other people, and I certainly appreciate that.
Well, I think that perhaps 10 or 20 years from now, that young woman who is being sexually promiscuous may actually reconsider her position, and she may come to realize, of course, what the position she's advocating at 18 or 20 are not the positions that will sustain her throughout her life. Ron, God bless. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir. God bless you and your listeners.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the program with Ron Higgins, a very courageous individual who's having an impact up there in Washington, D.C. A lot of people say, what can I do? You can do a great deal. You've just got to put yourself, decide to do it, and then begin to plan and organize. We have the majority of the people on our side, a lot of good organizations out there, and they need to be mobilized behind good candidates. And there's the gun owners out there, there's the AARP, or elderly people, certainly there are various minority groups, there are women's groups, there are certainly religious groups. Try to get these various groups, find out what they are, and get them behind your effort and your programs. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and of course, I think most ministries are having problems today, but we're certainly having our share of them, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you, and you can either join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get take our monthly newsletter or get our monthly CDs or tapes or advertise with us or donate or whatever you could do. But we'd appreciate it. We need to make up our deficit so we can continue what we're doing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-829. Well, I'm sorry. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's the one if you want to help us, 1-800-544-8927. We're going to have to give up most of our shortwave. It was just too expensive. We are going to keep our shortwave, though, for our afternoon program, 4 to 5 Pacific time. So if you listen to that, why, you will be able to get it. And then, of course, you can listen to our programs regularly on the Internet, or if you have a telephone or an iPad or an iPhone, all sorts of means of getting our program. They're available, and listen, if you have any question, you can call us at 800-544-8927. Let me suggest some of the DVDs we have. Certainly we think that one by Betty Martini on aspartame is so important because they're poisoning our children with the aspartame. And according to Betty today, it's in over 14,000 products in America today. Many of them aimed at destroying the minds and the bodies of our children. You need, of course, to get Rosalind Peterson's excellent DVD on geoengineering. Michael Shaw on Agenda 21, my talk on the population control, the covert agenda. That's population control, the covert agenda. And then, of course, my talk on the dark secret. It comes with a syllabus. My talk on the forbidden secret comes with a syllabus. And all of these things are important to help you understand what's going on. Now, we saw a great new DVD which we're carrying. It's called Behold a Pale Horse. Behold a Pale Horse. It's an excellent DVD that simply discusses what's going on behind the scenes today, and you'll find that you will get a great deal out of it. We carry Lynn Marzulli's DVDs on The Watchers, Part 1, The Watchers, Part 2, The Watchers, Part 3, because they get into the background of the supernatural forces at work within this society. We carry, of course, Carol Matriciana's DVD, Wide as the Gate, Volume 2. That's Wide as the Gate, Volume 2. And then, of course, we have 9/11 Explosive Evidence. That's certainly put out by the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's the 9/11 Explosive Evidence. And then, of course, we have the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. We have two DVDs put out by this group of scientists. There's over, I think, 1,500 or 1,600 architects and engineers who signed a petition saying, we haven't been told the truth about what happened on September 11th. And actually, if we haven't been told the truth, ladies and gentlemen, they killed those 3,000 Americans. They killed the 3,000 Americans and the Twin Towers and the planes that crashed that day. And so they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.